We're talking about victory over fear. We're talking about God's love. So let's go to Psalms 34. Let's pick up with our keynote scripture. Psalms 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord. That is where all things begin, is when we seek the Lord. And he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You know, it doesn't say half of your fears. It doesn't say one or two of your fears. God's promise that as we stay in communion with him, and we just took communion, as we stay in communion, he says that fear, he's going to deliver us from it. And so that's where we're gonna begin, because we're talking about victory over fear. We're talking about God who delivers us from all our fears. Now, I want you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're laying the foundation, and then from the foundation, we're going to go on. And so I'm repeating a little bit of the things that we talked about last week. So we're going to look at Paul's life here and then go on. Chapter 2, verse 1. I, brethren, when I came to you. So he's talking about when he came to Corinth. All right, now let's look in our Bibles over to the book of Acts. Let's look over in the book of Acts about when he came to Corinth. In chapter 18, Acts chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. So now we're seeing the historical side when he came to Corinth. But in the epistles of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he gives us some other insight that we need to know about his coming to Corinth. Now let's keep your fingers in Acts chapter 18. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's start over. I, brethren, when I came to you. So there's motion. He's coming with the gospel. I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, this is key. We're talking about victory over fear. Paul says, in my coming to you, I made a decision. The only thing that I wanted was to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. So you want to make a little, maybe a highlight under verse 2. I was with you in weakness, fear, and in much trembling. Now we're getting insight into what was happening to Paul in the spirit when he came into Corinth for the gospel. Now you have to understand, Paul, when he came into Corinth, he didn't know how long he was going to be there. He obeyed and he came. But in the realm of the Spirit, when he walked into Corinth, there was such a spiritual war set against him that inside of him, the fear, the trembling, the feeling of weakness. Have you ever been in a spiritual war and you just felt weak? Well, that's what the devil wants. You know, the Bible says, let the weak say we're strong, because it's important. Spiritual warfare comes against us and we feel weak. We feel afraid. And that's because the enemy is coming so strong to try to put a wall up and block us. Well, that's what was happening to Paul. He came in. Yeah, the Apostle Paul, that's who we're talking about. And he says, I was trembling. I tell you, it's hard to see Paul. We see Paul as a Superman. We see Paul as this giant of faith. And he was. But he was a man. And the enemy was coming against him. So he says this. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So this is how he laid the foundation of the church in Corinth. How was the church in Corinth started? With a nice sermon? No. It began with an apostle who was afraid, who was trembling, who was weak. But in the midst of all of this, he pressed into God saying, I only want to know Jesus and him crucified. There was a key in this revelation of Jesus and him crucified that empowered Paul to come with words that were heavy and weighty with the manifested presence of God. And that is how the foundation of the church in Corinth was laid. Now, let's go back to the book of Acts chapter 18. And verse 5, and when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in his spirit. There was a lot of warfare going on, but here the Holy Spirit begins to grab hold of Paul's spirit. And therefore Paul testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Remember, I only want to know Christ and him crucified. And with that, he was coming with that testimony, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, that's verse 6, he shook his garment and said, your blood is on your own heads. I am clean. From this point, I'm going to the Gentiles. Now, it's important. I believe that one reason why there was such warfare, it wasn't just for the church. Paul's high calling was the Gentiles, not the Jews. Peter was the apostle to the Jews. And there was great power and grace upon him for them. But this calling on Paul, nobody had ever seen before. It was new. You mean Jews preaching to Gentiles? Nobody had seen that. And now here's Paul. He loves his country. He knows how to talk to Jews. And finally, he is fed up. The Holy Spirit is grabbing hold of Paul. Why? Because there's a transition that's going to happen. In this transition, the power of God comes. I believe it's the gift of faith. God's power being in a receiving mode to help Paul turn into the direction of his high calling. I often wonder, maybe this is what we need to pray over leaders, is that the gift of faith would help them get from where they are into the fullness of the high calling of God upon their lives. Well, that came upon Paul. And he said, now I'm going to the Gentiles. There was this process of God's hand on Paul, turning him and moving him into the high calling. Now, that high calling of Paul technically is why you and I are saved, because he moved into that direction of this high calling of God for you, the Gentiles, for me, a Gentile, and it's powerful. Verse 7. And he departed and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house was next to the synagogue. Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord Jesus and all his house, and many Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Paul's under a lot of warfare, but the power of God is moving. People are coming to Christ. Now, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak. Hold not your peace, for I'm with you. No man is going to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. So he continued there a year and 6 months. Now, I don't think he knew how long he was going to stay there. But after the Lord comes and begins to speak to him, saying, hey, Paul, I know the fear that's around you. I know you're weak, and I know you're trembling. I know that my spirit on you is moving you into this high calling of God for the Gentiles. Don't be afraid. So all of a sudden, the Lord's word comes into his heart and begins to strengthen Paul's heart. He begins to go after the Gentiles. What happens? There's an uproar. The Bible says that they came, they took hold of Paul, they drug him into the arena, and before the mayor of the city, and now Paul's getting ready to have to defend himself. What happens? Galileo stops everybody and says, hey, this is foolishness. This is a Jewish matter about your religion. We're not going to do this here. So he dismissed the case, and it ended up being exactly like Jesus said, nobody's going to hurt you. And he was let go. And actually, they turned on the chief ruler of the synagogue and beat him up, because he's the one that probably was the one that started a lot of the problems. He got beat up. He was the one that was wounded, but not Paul. It was exactly as Jesus said. Hey, Paul, I've got many people in this town. Jesus wanted a church established. Jesus wanted Gentiles coming into the church. And God had to change a man named Paul. And guess what? In the midst of change, there was a lot of warfare, and fear was a major part of that warfare. Now, so going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, I determined. In Psalms 34, it says, I sought the Lord. Here, there's a determination. He was seeking the Lord. In his determination, the seeking of the Lord was Christ, him crucified. Why is that powerful? Because that was the deliverance for him to move forward, not only to change into the high call of God, but to put his foot on the demonic powers of fear and weakness and trembling. Now, let's pick up. That's the foundation from last week. Okay, there's a lot in there. But let's go to the book of John. The book of John, the Gospel of John. And let's go to chapter 20. This is going to be right after Jesus is raised from the dead. And there's a lot happening. But let's pick up and verse 19. So John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. So this is Saturday night. So during the day, the Jewish Christians would, rest on the Sabbath. Okay. They acknowledged the Sabbath. They obeyed the Sabbath. But as soon as the sun went down, the Christians would gather together, Jews and Gentiles. So evening is the first day of the week. So they would get together for church on Saturday night. You and I would say Saturday night. Okay. So on Saturday night, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear. the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be unto you." And when he so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, "Peace be unto you." Second time he says peace. "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whoever sins you retain, they are retained." Now, this is a powerful piece of scripture, because the Bible says the disciples had gathered together for fear. What fear? Well, in this case, it was fear of the Jews. In your case, maybe it's a fear of spiders, or a fear of traffic, or a fear of airplanes, or a fear of whatever. Fear is fear. In their case, it was the fear of the Jews. How did it manifest? They went inside, they locked the door, and now they're inside a room. Nobody coming in and nobody going out. What was the dominating spirit? Fear. Is that the spirit that Jesus wants in the church? No. It's the wrong spirit. What happens? Jesus walks through the door. And I'm believing that. I'm believing that whatever fear, whatever affliction is coming at you, intimidating you, trying to get you to back down from the gospel, I'm believing that Jesus walks right into the middle of it and he says, "Peace." After he says peace, what does he do? He begins to show them his hands and his side. What? "I was crucified." What did Paul say? He said, "I want to know Jesus, and I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I determined to know this." That's real Christianity. Going to church on Sunday doesn't necessarily mean Christianity. There's a lot of people who go to church who don't know Jesus and don't know him crucified. But for those of us who say, "Hey, Lord, I'm serious about this call of God. I'm serious about it. But you know what? There's fear. There's a spiritual war coming against me." Well, the Lord says the first thing you need to do is seek me. And in seeking me, to know me as Christ and to know me crucified. Now, let's take a look at another scripture. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18. So let's turn over to 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4 verse 18. The Bible says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." So if you've got a fear, it can be cast out. What casts it out? The Bible says perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. Let's say it again. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. And so here's the deal. In our lives, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has" what? "Lavished upon us." John chapter 14, Jesus says, "I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I'm not going to ignore you." So you and I are not orphans. We are in the love of God. He's called us as children. He's poured out love so saturating us And that perfect love casts out how many fears? Every fear. I'm believing that your eyes are going to be open and you're going to see, hey, this thing that's made me afraid, I'm not afraid of it anymore. I remember as a little boy, and most children, you wake up and you know there's a monster under your bed. You know there's something in your room that makes you afraid. And what happens? Mom comes in the room, and as soon as she turns the light on, all of a sudden you see. But it doesn't stay there. She comes over and sits on the bed and puts her arms around you. And that loving assurance begins to melt out the fear, and you're seeing truth, and all of a sudden it's over. She goes out, turns off the light, and you go back to bed. I believe that God, I sought the Lord. He heard me. He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. My prayer is that the lights come on, and that the hug of God, that love of God, that manner of love, that lavishing love comes in and begins to drive out the fear that's been trying to build a wall. You know, fear builds walls. Fear will try to build a wall around you. Nah, but God's love, it's not hindered by walls. You know, the love of God goes beyond understanding. Because fear tries to hit the surface of the mind, the thoughts. That's how deep it is. It's not very deep. What is deep is the Holy Ghost. What is deep is the Word of God. And that love of God that's on the inside of you begins to come up, and it begins to push out that fear. So I want you to be thinking, What's hindering me from living in the fullness of what God has? Is there something holding me back? Is it a fear? A fear of people? A fear of, how about roosters? Remember last week I talked about the rooster. And is it a fear of a rooster? Well, there's deliverance from old roosters of fear. And you just see yourself on your father's shoulders with a big stick going after that rooster of fear. That's last week's story. So if you didn't listen last week, you didn't get to hear that wonderful story. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. But what did he give? He gave us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and of a sound mind. What kind of mind? A sound mind. You know, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Well, the devil comes and says, well, your mind is confused. Your mind is broken. Your mind is sick. Your mind. He says a lot of things. And his presence tries to afflict oppression on the mind. But we have the mind of Christ. You know, the Bible says that Jesus endured so much thorns into the mind. Those thorny crown, when it was pushed onto his head, those thorns representing the curse of sin, the curse of the devil, the curse. And those thorns, as they began to push into his head and into his brain, into his mind, what happened? Blood began to wash out. And the first thing that those thorns touched, it was blood. The blood of Jesus came up and began to cover the thorn. Why? Because Jesus was paying with his blood. And I want you to see that old thorn that's been in your brain, that's been in your mind, a thought that you've not been able to get out of. I want you to see that that blood of Jesus took that thorn and began to bathe it, baptizing the thorn in the blood of the Lamb in order for it to totally lose its power in your life in the name of Jesus. I believe generational curses are broken. I believe generational fears that have tormented you are broken. I believe that you can go to sleep tonight and not be tormented with the inability to sleep. I believe that the blood washes the thorn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul says, I only want to know one thing, and that's Jesus and Him crucified. Because it was there at that crucifixion that all of the love of God was poured out for Eric Casto, for me, for you. That's where God's love was poured out for you. He so loved, He gave. He gave bountifully. You and I are in bounty. We're not in poverty. We're not in narrowness of life. We're in the bounty of life. And I want you to begin to believe for that. I want you to begin to say, you know what? I'm going to rise up and begin to walk towards the shadows. And I'm going to see that they are going to disappear. I prophesy right now that your shadow is going to disappear in the authority of Jesus' name right now. Now, Father, in closing, I want to thank you that these words are like seeds going into our spirits, into our minds, into our bodies. And Lord, I believe that something new is happening. Lord, I break the power of an orphan spirit. I break the power of rejection. An orphan, rejection, your fear. Orphan, your fear. And in the name of Jesus, that old orphan spirit is broken. And that, Lord, you place your righteous ones into a family. Lord, I pray for the church that I'm talking to. I'm praying for the thousands in this community that this is going to go out to. I am praying that they're going to find themselves in the right church, that Lord, you set into the body. And Lord, in the name. Now, Satan, I rebuke you. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Every hindering spirit, I break your power that has been hindering the body of Christ, that has been hindering this church. In the name of Jesus, I command your works to stop. Get out in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you. The angel of the Lord encamps around about those that love God, and He delivers. Hallelujah. So, Father, we receive the ministry of angels. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. We receive it. Amen and amen. God bless you. Until next Monday, I can't wait. We're going to keep in this series on fear. We're going to walk on fear. We're going to kick fear. We're going to trample it. And we're going to feed our faith. We're going to starve our doubts. And we're going to change the world. Listen, we love, Pastor, I love you. And can't wait till next week. And God bless you. Until then, bye-bye.